Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. I'm Joy Jackson. This month it's something old. I just returned from the Nostalgia Expo in Cincinnati, where one of the recreations, as well as one of the presentations, was on Zorro. ART has been working hard on a Zorro project for the last couple of years. Any day now, I'll get it done. I thought it would be fun to listen to an old-time radio show featuring the inspiration for Zorro, the Scarlet Pimpernel. The series is about a man and his wealthy friends who pose as cowardly fops while secretly going off to France to rescue folks from La Guillotine. Episode 7, Sir Percy Impersonates Leclerc.
They seek him here, they seek him there. Those Frenchies seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven? Is he in hell? That damned elusive Pimpernel.
Motion picture Red Shoes as Baroness Orczy's immortal character, the Scarlet Pimpernel.
One, the French Committee of Public Safety had rounded up the poor devils who had served the King of France and Marie Antoinette. They didn't have to be guilty of any crime. It was as though they had been tainted by contact with royalty. And Citizen Chauvelin, addressing the always convenient mob, screamed for blood.
The committee has kept its promises to you, citizen comrades. Not one, but every one of those who served in the royal palace have been found, tried, and convicted by the tribunal in meeting in Versailles. Hear me, comrades. There can be no mercy for those who were in league with the very forces that ground us under heel. The royalty that treated us like dirt. The tribunal has decreed the death penalty for all!
Well, that's that, Blakeney. I thought Monsieur Chauvelin had been too quiet lately. It was evident he was preparing to throw somebody to the dogs. Come on, let's walk.
How many of them do you suppose there'll be?
Too many, I'm afraid. Personal servants. Perhaps 20.
But being held in the tower at Vincennes?
Obviously.
Strong fortress, that.
Yes, only one entrance, one exit. Staff of guards is large, but yet not so large that they won't know each other well.
You're not going to try to get in there, are you?
No. No, Tony. We'll make our rescue attempt at the weak point.
But there is no weak point.
Not in the tower, no. But the prisoners won't be executed in the tower.
You mean we'll try to liberate them on the road between Vincennes and Paris?
While they're en route to the guillotine.
But at what point?
That's something we'll decide tonight. Now, how many members of the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel are in France now?
Fuchs, Harding, Krumstedt, let me see, about 9 of us here. The other 11 at home in England for the present. We could send for the others.
No time for the others. Madame la Guillotine won't wait. Well, we'll have to try for 9. You round them up. We meet at midnight at the Inn of the Many Windows on the Road to Vincennes. I'll join you there.
Where are you going now?
To get a list of the prisoners. Age, sex, description. We'll need it. So we'll know what sort of disguises to prepare. What travel accommodations to make.
Well, where are you going to get such a list? Well,
there's only one place I can get it. From the Committee of Public Safety.
Chauvelin's own headquarters?
Why not? You do not think he will recognize me in this French disguise, do you?
I wouldn't recognize you myself if I didn't know it was you. You do so many things with your face and voice, but the information you want will be found only on the actual orders for the execution.
Which will be in the hands of the public executioner, Citizen Lesueur. I'm certain he'll be quite happy to give it to me.
Give it to you?
Tony, Citizen Lesueur gets 50 francs for each condemned person he beheads. He's both bloodthirsty and money-hungry.
I'm going to try to bribe him.
And have him suspect I'm the Pimpernel. No. I'll merely pose as a messenger from our good friend Chauvelin and say that the papers are needed for 2 more names to be added.
Well, he'll want to know why they can't be on a separate execution order.
Perhaps. Or perhaps the lure of the 100 francs will be enough.
Well, suppose it isn't. You'll be in a heavily guarded building. Suppose your bluff doesn't work. What do you do then?
Well, frankly, my dear attorney, since the situation hasn't arisen yet, I don't have the faintest idea.
In a moment, Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. Marius Goring as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
I have been busy with the affairs of the Republic.
My business also concerns the Republic, citizen.
Then state it quickly.
Citizen Chauvelin wishes you to return the execution order for the cursed traitors who were in the services of the Palace Aristos.
The least? For what purpose, citizen?
One you will like. The addition of 2 more names.
Comrade, that list is complete. There were no other servants.
Perhaps you should keep in closer touch with the affairs of the tribunal, citizen. It has been discovered that 2 of the ladies in waiting on the list were married. Their husbands were not of the palace staff, but they were condemned this morning at an extra meeting of the tribunal.
I see. I was not aware of that, citizen.
You will be aware when Citizen Chauvelin makes the addition, aware and 100 francs richer.
Yes, citizen. I will get the papers from the cabinet. Perhaps what you have just told me will make me more than 100 francs richer. Perhaps 10,000 francs richer, eh?
He spun around, and the gun he had taken from the cabinet pointed straight for my heart. I measured the room quickly. Figured every distance, every possible chance.
10,000 francs, that is the reward for the Scarlet Pimpernel, is it not?
Have you gone mad, Citizen Lesueur?
Let Citizen Chauvelin decide which of us is mad, eh? Because I left Citizen Chauvelin outside the door of this room not 5 minutes ago.
Well, in that case, there really isn't much I can say, is there, old chap?
Ah, so the English dog uses his own voice. Oh, how I have waited to have you on the scaffold of my guillotine. And now, to bring you there by my own hand.
Would be wonderful, wouldn't it, monsieur?
Madame Guillotine will stop your laughter.
Perhaps. But not by your hand, monsieur. You take me for an idiot to walk in here unprotected.
Oh, you do not seem to have...
Think, monsieur. Could the Scarlet Pimpernel be taken as easily as you seem to have taken me? I gazed full into his eyes, as though I were trying to read his soul. I was counting on the superstition and fear of a professional murderer. I could almost see his mind working, and his eyes darted quickly about the room.
I see no members of your cursed league about, Monsieur Pimpernel.
You fool. One of them sat outside and told you I was waiting in here.
My clerk told me that...
Your clerk is bound up and hidden away in a closet. My men change faces and voices at will. Half the guards you passed in the corridors are my men, assuming the identity of others.
Don't move any closer to me, monsieur.
I came for a list, monsieur. Get it for me.
Not so fast, Monsieur Pimpernel. I still have a gun. I can kill you here and now.
And die with me. One shot in this room and the man who you thought was your clerk will leap in and murder you before you can bolt the door. Come on, Lesueur. Fire! Let's join Madame Death together.
No, no, you devil!
I want that list. His eyes warned me of the scream that was starting in his throat. I took one large stride quickly and smashed him on the point of the jaw. And he crumpled at my feet. I ripped open the cabinet, ruffled through the papers, found the list I was looking for. I stuffed it into my pocket, got out of the room, and started with long, unhurried strides for the exit. My casual visit to the committee started quite an uproar. By nightfall, troops were still combing the city and torches burned everywhere. But dressed in my own clothes, I had no difficulty in getting out of Paris and joining the other members of the League at the Inn of the Many Windows. There's Tony now.
Well,
I know I'm late. Sorry.
Better close the door quickly now.
What's the matter, Tony? What kept you?
I've got bad news. It may be impossible to get the prisoners out of Vincennes Tower, but that's where we're going to have to get them from.
But only this afternoon you told me that Blakeney planned a highway raid en route to Paris.
Well, you know that, Tony.
That was this afternoon. It won't work now.
Why not, Tony?
Because I saw something on the way out here. They're not going to bring the prisoners into Paris for execution.
But they must.
Fuchs, I passed two enormous covered carts at the south gate leaving Paris. It took me more than an hour to figure what was in them. Then I rode to the Rue de Carousel to confirm my suspicion. The square was empty. The prisoners will never see Paris. The guillotine has been moved to Vincennes.
In a moment, Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. Marius Goring as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
The news hit us like a thunderbolt. Every man in the room knew what it meant. No attack against a guard on a country road where we might wait in ambush, but an assault on a prison known to be escape-proof.
Fantastic. Well,
it's up to you now, Blakeney. What are we going to do?
Well, I have to think about it for a moment.
Well, if we give it up...
Then 20 innocent people will certainly die.
Doctor! Citizen Doctor!
What is this? Why do you disturb my sleep?
You must come at once. One of the prison guards is ill.
I do not make night calls.
But he is very bad, Doctor. His face, he has fever.
Oh! Well, wait until I dress.
Help me, Doctor.
How long has he been like this?
Since he came home from the prison.
Sacré bleu. The other guards. Did he say they were sick too?
No, but the prisoners... Oh, is it bad, citizen doctor?
Bad, citizeness? This man will be dead within the hour.
Dead?
Yes, dead. Dead of the cursed bubonic plague.
Bubonic plague? Oh, no. No. No!
By morning, the town was in a panic. Nobody would come near the house, not even a casket maker. I pretended to take Tony's body out of town for immediate burial.
All right, Tony. You can get up now.
Oh, rather a bumpy hearse you provided, old boy.
And if you'll note, no mourners. I had to buy this cart. The owner never wants to touch it again. He'll probably use the money to leave Vincennes.
A panic, eh? Well, I'm glad you got this. I should hate to walk to my own funeral.
Oh, don't be so put out. It isn't even your funeral. It's the prison guard's. I'd like to be there after we release him and he shows up in Vincennes and finds he was the first to die in an epidemic of plague.
So would I. What now?
Change your disguise. All right, go back into town as an ordinary citizen, build up the plague talk, and wait.
And you?
The guard you replaced was the only one who had direct contact with the prisoners. You gave a few of them the acid I had you use.
Yes, there'll be a few cases of your synthetic plague in the tower this morning.
Fine. Now, what I need to do is to go back to town, tell the authorities that I suspect that the prisoners were the ones who started the contamination.
What authority?
Well, the man who came to Vincennes this morning to supervise the preparations for the executions.
Chauvelin himself?
Yes, Tony. Monsieur Chauvelin.
It must be stopped, I tell you. The guards have deserted by the score. The troops are at less than half strength.
I am a doctor, Monsieur Chauvelin, not a magician. This is bubonic plague.
We do not even know if the prisoners have it or not. The remaining guards would rather be shot than go near them.
Someone must go. The source must be eliminated, or the entire town may be depopulated.
You are a doctor, citizen. It is your duty to go.
Even a doctor may have his fears, citizen. I am loyal to the New Republic.
Enough! But... If you are as loyal as you say, if you are as loyal as the other citizen here claim you are, then do as you are told. I order you.
Very well, citizen. But I would take this order from no one but you, a man who has done so much for the glory of France.
Thank you, comrade. Here. Here is your prison pass.
Took pistols into the tower with me, all I could conceal on my person, and I passed them out along with my instructions. The prisoners were grim, dependable. I went back to Chauvelin like a man about to die of fright.
Well, out with it, Doctor.
It is they. They are already four dead, and another three will die before evening. All of them, within a week at most.
Sacre bleu!
They are going to be guillotined anyhow.
With the guards deserting and the executioner himself not to be found. The cursed Pimpernel. If he were here, I would turn them into his hands and let him die of the plague too.
Citizen, I have it. Set fire to the tower.
Fire? You just came from there, idiot. The building is of stone. And You have been in contact with them.
By your order.
Stop! Do not come near me.
The dead in that tower must be buried. I cannot do it alone. Nobody else will touch them.
I have it. I will get rid of the cursed bunch. Let the living prisoners carry the dead on litters to the cemetery outside the town. I will have troops dig a large open grave. Then the litter bearers can be shot and buried with them. I see you like my plan, Citizen Doctor.
A very clever plan, Citizen Chauvelin. But then, you are a very clever man.
If you have deceived us, monsieur, the gun you gave me will be used on you.
I haven't deceived you, mademoiselle.
There is the graveyard and the rest of the soldiers.
Yes. And Monsieur Chauvelin. See that clump of trees to the left?
Oui.
8 of my men wait there with more guns and 60 horses. When we reach that point, ignore the graveyard gate and run for those trees. You all hear that?
Yes.
Well, those on the litters, come to life and run too. Here we are now, coming to the gate.
Bring them this way, Doctor! This way!
I cannot! I am following your other plan.
What other plan?
Don't you remember, old boy? You said you'd turn them over to the Scarlet Pimpernel.
The Pimpernel! Fire!
All right, to the trees!
We broke for the trees with the nearest soldiers 100 yards behind. In a matter of seconds, Tony and Fuchs and the others were helping our friends into the saddles.
Troops reaching the far edge of the wood.
All right, I see them. Everybody mounted?
Yes, all ready.
They can't catch any of us now, then. All right, ride!
Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. Goring as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Whew. Channel's a bit rough tonight, Tony.
Yes. I'm afraid half our passengers are seasick.
Oh, well. Muddle de mer is better than bubonic plague.
Not to Dr. Chauvelin, I'll wager.
You know, we were mighty lucky, Tony. After all, those Frenchies must have fired 1,000 rounds. Never touched one of us.
Well, how could they?
What do you mean, how could they?
Well, after all, oh boy, Fuchs and I do a little thinking, too.
Huh.
While they were digging the graves, we emptied their guns and put in blank charges.
Adventures of the Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marius Goring, with music composed and conducted by Sidney Torch. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello. Hello. I'm Pat McNally. You know, radio drama doesn't grow on trees. It's painstakingly pieced together like an ancient Greek burial urn. It's up to the producers and actors to fill that urn with puns and until it groans with the weight of all that wit. Personally, I'm fed up with that urn. I'm the one who has to dump it out afterwards.
Pat! Pat!
What?
A.R.T.
Oh, yeah. This is A.R.T., the American Radio Theater.
Pat, the website!
It's not on here.
Jeez, Pat, it's www.americanradiotheater.org!
It's not on here!
We return to treasures old and new from A.R.T., for a shift back to the days of old-time radio, let's listen in to part of the Railroad Hour, which is really only a half an hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes the star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the romantic operetta, The New Moon, starring Gordon McRae and his lovely guest star, Miss Ilona Massey. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is arranged and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another great musical hit is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, our curtain rises on the famous Sigmund Romberg operetta, The New Moon. In the role of the Lady Marianne, you will hear the charming motion picture and concert star, Miss Ilona Massey. And in the role of her bondservant, I appear as a swashbuckling lad named Robert Meson, who sailed to romance and high adventure on a ship called the New Moon. New Orleans, the year of our Lord, 1791. As I look back through my journal to the pages that tell the events of that year, my heart quickens. And once more I stand in that tavern in New Orleans, looking into the eyes of the men who were to make a desperate dash for freedom with me. We were all bond servants, but we were also French. And we knew the words that were being whispered in the streets of Paris under the very window of the king. Liberty, equality, fraternity. I had whispered them myself, and the king had declared me a traitor and put a price on my head. So I fled to New Orleans as a bond servant. I remember the hot excitement of that night as I stood telling the men that out beyond the Gulf of Mexico was the Caribbean and the Isle of Pines, and that there we would see a new moon rise on a new colony where we would all be free.
But how will we get to this island? There's the rub. How will we get there?
We set sail tonight.
Tonight?
Yes. We will commandeer a ship that is in the harbor now, loaded with supplies, ready to sail with the tide. My friend Philippe and several others among you are already members of a crew. The New Moon.
But the New Moon is a bride ship bound for Martinique.
Well, we need brides to set up a colony, don't we? Think of it, men. A new colony. A free colony for the brave, the strong, the stout-hearted. Are you with me? Good.
Give me some men who are stout-hearted men who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. Shoulder to shoulder and bolder, they grow as they go to the fore. Then there's nothing in the world can halt or mar a plan. When stout-hearted men can stick together man to man.
Give me some men who are stout-hearted men who will fight for the right
to the fore. Then there's nothing in the world can halt or mar our plan. When stout-hearted men can stick together, man to man.
Yes, I look back to that night in New Orleans, and I remember men's faces reflecting the glow of the word liberty. And I remember one woman's face, and the way her eyes smiled behind the mask she wore. I was her bond servant, and though she had never guessed it, I was also her slave. She was giving a masquerade ball that night in honor of Monsieur Ribaud, a detective in the employ of the King of France who had been sent to New Orleans for the express purpose of returning me to France and the guillotine. He did not know me by sight, and so I decided to put on a mask and costume and have a dance with a Lady Marianne to hold her in my arms for the first and the last time.
Have we danced before, monsieur? There is something about you that seems very familiar. And yet, if we had danced, I'm sure I would have not forgotten you.
We have danced together only in my dreams, Lady Marianne.
So, you are a dreamer too?
Are you a dreamer, Lady Marianne?
Oh, monsieur, all women are dreamers. And they all dream the same dream.
One kiss, one man to save it from. One love for him alone. One word, and nothing more. To tell him I'm his own.
One magic night within his arms.
His passion's flowering. And all my life I love only
danced, and then we walked in the garden. I remember how I walked beside her, knowing that the hour was almost midnight, thinking, how can I leave you? Oh, how can I leave you? And then remembering that this was a stolen hour, that I had a rendezvous with a ship, and that she, if rumor was to be believed, was engaged to the captain of that ship. But still I walked beside her, reluctant to relinquish that stolen hour.
How beautiful it is out here in the garden.
Look at that moon, Lady Marianne. A new moon. Turn around and wish over your left shoulder.
You too. There. What did you wish?
What men always wish for. The impossible, the unattainable. What did you wish for?
I think the same as you.
Let's pretend that we have walked here every night for, oh, say 4 months.
Why 4 months?
Because then you would surely know that the things I want to say to you are not just the pretty compliments one pays a lady at a ball.
What are the things that you would say, monsieur?
My heart is aching for someone, and you are that someone.
I know the truth of your story. I must believe what I see.
You too may someday love someone from somewhere. They'll come one.
One you will tell us in story, but you're telling.
Wanting you every day I
but I'll gain my quest. Prince Albert, for I think of the merest chance that you might be weak. Prince Albert, oh, whenever I weep, I never find you near me. Wanting you, nothing else in this world. Robert, my darling.
Marianne, you know?
Yes, Robert. This evening when Monsieur Ribot told me that one of my bondsmen was a nobleman, I knew immediately who it was. You are Robert Misson, are you not?
Yes. Yes, I am Robert Misson.
Men, seize this gentleman.
Let me go. Let me go, I tell you. Let go of me.
Thank you, Milady Marianne. Thank you.
Monsieur Ribot, what does this mean?
It means, your ladyship, that I am in your debt forever. You have helped me capture one of the most dangerous men in New Orleans, Robert Misson.
Monsieur Ribot.
Congratulations, mademoiselle. You made a fool of me, and you used my love to betray me. But you just may have betrayed yourself as well. Goodbye, Mistress Marianne.
Robert, have you forgotten?
Come, Monsieur Ribot. I am your prisoner.
Follow me, men, and be careful that he does not escape.
Robert! Robert!
In this world, you are all that I am.
Fool! Fool! Fool!
Return to the second act of The New Moon in just a moment, but first a message from the railroads. To the harassed motorists on some of our more crowded highways, it might very well seem that pretty nearly all the freight in the United States is moving by motor truck. But of course that isn't the case. For most of the freight that moves, and even most of the freight which is moved by truck, is not moved on the intercity highways. There are two sorts of truck traffic. And by far the more important part is not the intercity traffic carried by the big long-distance haulers you meet in such numbers out on the highways. The most important and the most useful service performed by trucks, and the service in which the overwhelming majority of trucks are engaged, is local traffic. This local traffic includes the farm-to-market movements made in farm trucks, and the traffic carried in local transfer and delivery trucks in and around towns and cities. It is this local and farm traffic in which most trucks, probably 5 out of every 6, are engaged. The big long-distance haulers, which you meet on the main highways, are engaged in a different kind of business. These are the trucks which are doing the same sort of freight business as railroads. Last year, the railroads hauled more than 7 times as much intercity freight traffic as did the trucks. Did you ever stop to think how important it is to you, both as a taxpayer and as a user of the highways, that so much of the nation's intercity freight hauling is done on the special highways of steel, provided, maintained, and paid for by the railroads? Did you ever stop to think how important it is to you, both as a taxpayer and as a user of the highways, that so much of the nation's intercity freight hauling is done on the special highways of steel, provided, maintained, and paid for by the railroads? If this traffic, which moves by rail, or if any considerable part of it were to be moved on the public highways instead of on the railroad's special highways of steel, Just imagine what you, as a motorist, would be up against. And now here is the second act of The New Moon, starring Gordon McRae as Robert Meetson and his guest star Ilona Massey as Lady Marianne.
Monsieur Ribaud took me on board the New Moon, ordered that I be thrown in irons, and went to bed. When he awakened the next morning, we were at sea, and Philippe notified him that the captain of the New Moon wanted to see him.
Meetson, well, what are you doing in the captain's quarters? Where is Captain Duval?
I am the captain of the New Moon now, Monsieur Ribaud. Captain Duval was regrettably detained in New Orleans. A sudden accident. Something fell on his head.
Why, you pirate, you bandit, you...
Every member of the crew is a follower of mine, Monsieur Ribaud. We are bound for an uninhabited island in the Caribbean, where we intend to set up a colony.
A colony? In the Caribbean? Ah. And what do you intend to do about the Lady Marianne?
The Lady Marianne?
Oh, yes. Yes, she is on board this ship.
That's impossible.
Oh, no. Captain Duval brought her on board. There had been an understanding between them for some time. They planned to be married in Paris on this trip.
Oh, I see. I could not believe that Lady Marianne was on my ship. I loved her and I hated her so much at that moment that I couldn't tell where one stopped and the other began. I went up on deck to look for her. And there she was, standing by the rail with her maid. She was singing. I stood there listening. And for those few moments, though she never knew it, I was once again her prisoner.
The sky was blue.
Lady Marianne had finished her song, I slipped back into my cabin unnoticed. She had betrayed me to Captain Ribaud. Well, she had been caught in her own trap. Her fine lover was back in New Orleans, and she was on the New Moon, bound for the Isle of Pines. I walked my cabin, endless days, endless nights, trying to convince myself I was free of all feeling for her. But I couldn't escape the memory of her eyes or her lips. During that long voyage, we didn't speak one word to each other, until the day before we landed, when she stormed into my cabin.
Captain Meetson.
What? Oh, the Lady Marianne. Well, this is an unexpected surprise. I hardly expected you to come to my cabin.
I have been told we will land by morning.
That is quite true, Lady Marianne.
I am also told that you have given orders that every woman on the ship is to marry as soon as we land.
That is also correct.
And may I ask whom you expect me to marry?
Why, anyone you choose.
Huh. Thank you very much. It must make you feel very triumphant to have won your revenge against a woman, Monsieur Misson. You are completely contemptible. Good day, Monsieur Misson.
Goodbye, Lady Marianne. I guess that's one dream I'll have to forget.
Love came to me, gay and tender. Love came to me, sweet surrender. Love came to me, in bright romantic splendor. Fickle was she, faithful never. She and clever, so it will be forever, forever. Softly, as in a morning sunrise, the light of love comes stealing into a newborn day. Oh, flaming with all the glow of sunrise, a burning kiss is sealing the vow that all betray. For the passions that thrill love and lift you high to heaven are the passions that kill love and let you fall to hell. So ends the story softly, as in an evening sunset, the light that gave you glory will take it all away.
The next morning, the new moon landed at the Isle of Pines. And as the months went by, we put our dream of democracy into practice. We built our cabins, the men married, and the Lady Marianne remained the one unmarried woman on the island. One night, Monsieur Ribaud called at my cabin and insisted that I go with him to talk to Marianne. I went, most unwillingly.
Monsieur Ribaud, I do not know why you have come to my house with Robert Misson, but I...
Nor do I, Ribaud. Lady Marianne and I have nothing to say to each other.
Wait. First, let me tell you a story. A story particularly important to me because I am the villain of the piece. Once upon a time, not too long ago, a man danced with a girl at a ball. He kissed her, and they fell in love.
Monsieur Ribaud.
Monsieur Ribaud, yes. Yes, that's the name of the villain. An aristocrat, a most despicable fellow. It was he who led the young man to believe that the girl had conspired in his arrest, when all the time, that same girl was ready to move heaven and earth to save him.
Ribaud, is this
please,
true?
Please, what is the use of telling him now?
Marianne, I told Robert that you came on board the New Moon to go to France with Captain Duval and marry him.
You did that?
It isn't true?
Of course it isn't true. I came on board with my maid to try to help you escape.
Marianne.
There, now, isn't it a pretty story? At the very moment when the boy and girl thought they were hopelessly apart, they find themselves together on a moonlight night with only one wish now. And that is that the extra gentleman should say good night. And so, good night.
Marianne. Marianne, darling.
Oh, Robert.
For a moment, I couldn't understand why Ribaud had brought Marianne and me together. But I soon learned it was just another of his tricks. He tricked to get me out of the way until the officers of the French Navy could land on the island and take me into custody. A few moments later, Marianne and I heard voices outside. And as we opened the door, we heard Monsieur Ribaud cry.
There he is, Captain. Arrest him. Robert Misson, wanted for murder by the King of France.
Not by the King of France, monsieur. There is no King of France.
There is no King of France?
On the 14th of July, the lilies of France were replaced by the Trois Couleurs. France is a republic. Those of you who wish to remain here under Governor Misson may be citizens of the new republic. Those who wish to follow Ribaud and the other aristocrats to the guillotine may fall in line.
I an aristocrat? I, Citizen Ribaud?
Are there any other aristocrats on the island?
Only this one, Captain, who is my promised wife.
You are to be his wife, mademoiselle?
Yes. Citizeness Marianne Misson. His wife, his follower, his love.
Marianne.
I remember every little thing you used to do. I was lonely.
Look, darling, the moon is new. Turn your back on it and wish.
Oh, darling, I have everything I could wish for now. The sky was blue.
Back in just a moment. Meanwhile, this is Gordon McRae giving a vote of thanks to our excellent supporting cast, Thea Roberts and Paul Frees, for their fine performances in The New Moon, with book and lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein, Frank Mandel, and Lawrence Schwab. Music by Sigmund Romberg, and adapted for radio by Gene Holloway. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. As you know, day after tomorrow is Columbus Day, the anniversary of the day 457 years ago when Christopher Columbus discovered America. Today, you can discover America and do it by rail with safety, convenience, comfort, and economy that no other form of transportation can offer. And now, here is Ilona Massey.
Thank you, Gordon. Thank you. I enjoyed being with you this evening and singing with you The New Moon.
We enjoyed having you, Ilona. Maybe when you come back from your next concert tour, you'll pay us another visit, huh?
I'd love to, Gordon. And of course, I'll be listening each week.
Thanks very much, Ilona. You'll enjoy next week's show, I'm sure. We're doing the famous Oscar Strauss operetta, The Chocolate Soldier. And my guest star will be the lovely lyric soprano from the Metropolitan Opera, Miss Nadine Connor.
Oh, she is very charming. And The Chocolate Soldier has always been one of my favorites. Bye.
All aboard!
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. And so until next week, goodbye.
The New Moon was presented by special arrangement with Tams Whitmark Music Library. Gordon McRae is now being seen in the Warner Brothers Technicolor production, Look for the Silver Lining. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is arranged and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the Association of American Railroads. Bye.
Gee, that's all I've got time for today. Please check out our podcast on our website, www.americanradiotheater.org. You know, we put up a new podcast every month. If you want to hang out with other folks playing old-time radio, it's radiooutofthepast.org in the Fred Bertelsen Room. On Thursdays from 5:30 Pacific, that's 8:30 Eastern, and also on Saturday, 6 o'clock Pacific. That's 9 o'clock Eastern. Hope to see you soon.